Bless you all. I appreciate that so much. Well, I want to ask for your prayers today. I want to share with you what God has placed upon my heart. I'm going to call your attention to the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And this will be, I'm sure, a familiar passage, familiar reading with most of you, but I'm going to begin reading with the 11th verse of Acts chapter 3, but I want to do a quick summary before I begin to read about what we are told had taken place up to this point, or just prior to this point where I want to begin to read. The apostles Peter and John had encountered a man there at the temple who was lame, had always been that way, been lame from his birth, and he was taken there from day to day and placed there at the gate of the temple, and he would ask alms of people that entered into the temple. I guess that's how that he survived. That's how that he made his living, was upon the compassion of people from day to day that would give to him. And the apostle Peter told him that he had something better for him than silver or gold. He said to him, "Silver or gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he was healed. There was a miracle that took place there through the power of the Christ, and he gained strength in his legs and was able to walk, and he took off rejoicing and leaping and jumping up and down and praising the Lord for what had happened to him. And as we begin with verse 11, it said, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." And I'm going to stop reading there with verse 18. And my thought today is this: I want to speak to you today about a suffering Savior. A suffering Savior. And this is something that those who are lost need to hear about. They need to be told the truth about the Savior who came and suffered for them, that they might turn to him and seek him for salvation. But you know what? The saved also need to be reminded of a suffering Savior. When we get out of sorts with the Lord, when we get out of line with him, when we get out of the center of his will, or when we're not listening to the things that God has taught us in his word, we ought to be reminded of the suffering Savior. We ought to be reminded of the things that he suffered for us in order that we could be saved. And I'll tell you what, I believe that you have experienced this as well as I have. But, you know, when God's children, when we don't walk right, when we don't, you know, live according to His Word the way that we should, when you begin to think about that, when you begin to look at the cross and you begin to think about what the Lord did for us, it makes you ashamed, doesn't it? I know it has done that to me many times. I thought, well, I should be ashamed of being this way because of what the Lord has done for me. So this is something that we certainly need to be reminded of what He went through for us to have what we have in our soul. Now, the Apostle Peter here took advantage of this situation. There was an open door here after that they had, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, after they had healed this man, when he noticed that the people began to look at them as though it was something that they had done, Peter, he greatly took advantage of the situation here and used it to preach Jesus to these people. He used it to tell them some things that as a people that they had been guilty of concerning him, concerning the Lord as well. But in the last verse that I read in verse 18, he said, those things which God before, listen to what the Apostle Peter told these people. He said, which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. What's he talking about? He's telling them that the scriptures that he was talking about then is what you and I know today and call the Old Testament scriptures. The prophets, Moses and the prophets, the Apostle Peter is telling these people that they have witnessed through the things that they have said and those things that have been written, that they have borne witness to the suffering of the Messiah, that he would be somebody that would come, that would endure great suffering in his life here on earth. And if we go back to the Old Testament, we see those things begin to be mentioned from the very onset of the time that man transgressed the law of God and became guilty of sin. We begin to find right then, mentioned by God Himself, that He would send His Son into the world and that He would greatly suffer. And if we look at Genesis chapter 3 in the 15th verse, God said this to the devil. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so we see there God giving prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, that he would deliver a fatal blow to the head of the devil, but in the process that he too would be bruised. And I suppose that if we go back and we look at the Old Testament scriptures, perhaps the greatest detail that were given concerning, and I want to share a few verses from both of these places, but perhaps the greatest detail that were given in all the Old Testament concerning the way that the coming deliverer would suffer would perhaps be found in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah and also in the 22nd Psalm. There was great detail that was given in both of those about what the Lord Jesus Christ would go through. And I want you to think about what God foretold there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that the Lord, the deliverer, would bruise his heel. And if we look in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, and I hope to share more from that chapter before I'm finished than just this, but in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, the prophet Isaiah said he was bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised for our iniquities. And I want to share these verses from the 22nd Psalm. I want you to listen closely. You can turn there if you want to and read them, but I want you to listen closely to what the psalmist said here. Psalm 22, verses 14 through 16. It said, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And there are more things that are said in that psalm, but I wanted to share those with you. And that statement that was made at the end of those verses, they have pierced my hands and my feet. We know, there's no question that that was talking about the things that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to face. He suffered, and it was foretold that he would suffer, that he would suffer greatly physically, that he would suffer emotionally, that he would suffer spiritually, and that he would be bruised for us. He would not be bruised because of anything that he had done. He would be bruised because of what we had done. He would not be bruised for his iniquities because he didn't have any. He would be bruised for our iniquities because we did. And so Jesus began to, during his personal ministry, he began to also teach his disciples that he was going to have to go to Jerusalem and that he was going to be delivered up to sinful men. He was going to be delivered into the hands of wicked men, and that at their hands that he was going to suffer. But you see, you know, the Lord already knew all of this. And isn't that an amazing thought? I know it is to me. To me, it's a furtherance of the great love and compassion that he had towards us, in that he came here and he already was aware of the things that he was going to face. You know, these things did not take the Lord Jesus by surprise after he came to the world. He knew that he was going to have to face them. And he came here just the same to die for our sins. And he began, as I said, to warn his disciples. If we look in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it tells us that from that time forward, this was right after that the Lord had talked to his disciples about and had asked them, who is it that men are saying that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, there's some that are saying you're John the Baptist. Some are saying you're Elijah or one of the prophets. And he said, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And the Apostle Peter said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And from that time, the Bible tells us, from that time forth, Jesus began to show something to his disciples. He began to show them how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. Many things. Of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, I want you to think again of what we read there in the third chapter, in verse 18 of the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, that this was foretold by all the prophets, that they prophesied many years before Jesus actually came into the world, that they prophesied of the fact that he would be a suffering Messiah. And you know, we read in the scriptures how that the Bible tells us that Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. Now, there were Jews, and we know this, there were Jews that received him, but as a whole, most of them did not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. And they were not at all looking for that type of Messiah. They were looking for someone, I believe, that would come with great military force, with great worldly power, and deliver them from the yoke that they were under there. They were not looking for a Messiah that would come here and suffer and die the way that he did. But doesn't that tell us that they were either ignorant of the scriptures, or else they were not willing to take what the scriptures were saying, because they should have been able to see, with all the prophecy that was given, they should have been able to see that the Messiah, that when he come, that he would be somebody that would greatly suffer in this life. But you know what? When we get away from the Word of God, we just don't see things properly, do we? And that's what happened to them. They just didn't see things properly. They just did not pay attention to what they had been told. I want to share a couple more places before I go further. I want you to think about these verses found in the 26th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Now, both of these places that I use are examples where we have in the Scriptures where the Apostle Paul was saying these things to one place to a group of people and another place to one person. In Acts chapter 26, he was talking to King Agrippa. But the Apostle Paul, it seemed to be a great part of his preaching to let people know about the things that the Lord Jesus Christ had suffered. In Acts 26, verses 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul, in the midst of a conversation there with this man, he said, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." He talked about how that he was talking about how that there had been those that had tried to take his life. And he said, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." Who? The prophets and Moses said that these things would come. What things? That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show a light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Now, you know, he shared the suffering of Christ. He also shared the great fact of the resurrection, that he would rise again, that after this suffering, that he would rise again. And perhaps we might be able to talk about that at a later time. In Acts chapter 17, in verses 2 and 3, when the Apostle Paul was there in Athens, it says that, in Thessalonica, the first part of the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles tell us of Paul and his company having come into Thessalonica. And there was a Jewish synagogue there. And the Bible tells us that Paul, as his manner was, or as his tradition or custom was, that he went in unto them and for three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. What did he reason? He reasoned, the Bible says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Now, we can go back there, I believe, to the 16th chapter of Matthew, and we can find when Jesus began to reveal to his disciples, began to make known to them the things that he was going to have to face in Jerusalem. We find when he told them how that he was going to go to Jerusalem, he was going to be delivered into the hands of these sinful men, and he was going to be crucified, he was going to be slain, he was going to be greatly mistreated and killed. We find that the Apostle Peter, as his manner seemed to be sometimes, even got way ahead of himself and even rebuked the Lord. He said, "Nah, no, be that far from thee." That's when Jesus called him Satan. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, because you savor the things that are of men and not of the things that are of God." In other words, this was God's will. This had been foretold. This had been prophesied. And people should have known. They should have known that the Messiah would be a suffering individual. Some people today want to just, they want to be saved the easy way. You know what? Jesus didn't have it easy making a way for us to be saved, did he? He suffered. He suffered greatly. He suffered more than any man ever suffered. And yet today, many people, they want to just, you know, it's been called easy believism. Conviction of sin, the guilt that we feel when we are convicted of our sins, the condemnation that we feel when we are convicted of our sins, the trouble that comes into our heart when we realize our lost condition. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered greatly for us to be able to be saved. And we ought to do some suffering too, shouldn't we? We should. That was the greatest inward turmoil that I ever had in my life. To realize that I was separated from the Lord and that I was doomed for an eternity without Him. Jesus, you know, listen, when he came here, he didn't have an easy life. He lived the most troubled of lives. He lived the most suffering life that anybody ever lived. And we read about how that from the time of his birth, when he came into the world, that there were wicked people that sought to destroy him. Herod sought to destroy him even in his childhood. Even as a baby, he sought to get rid of him. And there were people, and we can read about in the Gospels, we can read about all through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the things that he suffered. What about that time when he began his ministry? And the scriptures tell us there in the fourth chapter of the gospel, according to Matthew, how that he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm not trying to be funny, but I want you to think about what he went through, folks. Sometimes I have a hard time fasting 40 minutes. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights to where he was in a very weakened physical state. And then he was led of the Spirit up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And I don't think that you and I will ever really understand what he was going through up there. How that the devil came to him, the tempter came to him in all of his fury and tempted him with everything. And Jesus faced it alone. Listen, you and I could never do that. We can't stand against the devil on our own. We would surely be overtaken. We've got to have the Lord's help, don't we? The Apostle Paul said in the sixth chapter of Ephesians that if we're going to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, we got to have the armor on. We got to have the whole armor of God on. And we've got to be praying with all supplication and watching and perseverance in the Spirit. We've got to do all of that to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, Jesus faced him alone. The Bible tells us that at the end of that temptation, how that the angels came and they ministered to him. He needed to be ministered to at the end of all that. But all the while, all of this that he was going through, and I want to turn at this point and just read a little bit of scripture, because this was all for us. I want to ask you, turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 53. This is not a real long chapter. Isaiah chapter 53 says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And this begins to talk about Jesus. It says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." You know, in the scriptures, you know what they got stripes from? They got stripes from being whipped. "With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." I had a problem just dealing with my own. "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Listen, verse 7. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Jesus, after a short time, short life on earth, about 30-some years, 33 years or so, short life, the way we think of it, short life on earth. After all that he had been through, and the time came for him to make the atonement, for him to make the sacrifice. Can you picture this? Can you get this in your mind today? He's getting ready to go as he knew he was sent to do. He was a man. He was facing these things as a man. He goes there with his chosen disciples to the garden. Can you see him? In your mind's eye, can you see him? Can you see this man that was suffering for you? Lost friend, can you see him today? He gets down on his knees there. He separates himself a little ways from his disciples. He gets down on his knees. Can you imagine all of this coming up on him? Can you imagine all the things that he realized himself that he had to face? All the sins of the world getting ready to be laid upon him. Can you imagine? He says, I've got to go and talk to my Father. So he separates himself, the Bible says, about a stone's throw from his disciples. He gets down on his knees and he begins to pray. Sweat becomes as great drops of blood falling to the ground. And you know what? Me, you, all the world, we're on his mind. I'm going to do this for all of them. Gets down on his knees, and he says, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. They were getting ready, those around him, they didn't know it yet, but they were getting ready to see him beaten to a pulp. They were getting ready to see him having gone through such a physical ordeal that he wasn't even recognizable. Isaiah said, you read the end of the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah said his countenance was more marred than anybody's, that it would be. Sweat as drops of blood falling to the ground. Him looking to the Heavenly Father. Bible said he was praying in agony. Agony. Father, if it's possible, don't make me go through this. Can you imagine? I asked my wife last night. We laid down on the bed to go to sleep. I looked at her and I said, can you imagine how God felt? Can you imagine God hearing his son crying out to him saying, "Don't! If there's another way, please don't make me go through this." We'll never understand all that, will we? We'll never understand what he really suffered. I mean, listen. Those of you who are saved, don't you feel good in your soul? I mean, when the Lord saved you, wasn't that an awesome experience? You know what? He suffered for that. He suffered for that, for us to be able to experience that. He suffered more than we can even imagine. I'm glad that he was able to look ahead and have some joy. The Hebrew writer said, for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross and despised the shame and is set down at the right hand of God. Listen, if you're here today and you're lost and without the Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, suffered for you in order for you to be saved. And if you reject him and you push him away, and you fail to seek him, you're going to stand before a God one day that's going to be angry with you for having done that. And your only hope of mercy is to come to him now, to repent of your sins, to trust in Jesus, and be saved, because God so loved the world that he gave him. He sent him here to suffer the way that he suffered so that we could be saved. Can you see it? In your mind's eye, can you see it? I heard a song last night. Heard a good singing duet last night. They sang about, when I survey the wondrous cross, when I think about what happened at the cross, Brother Strode. Let's have a song.